looking back, Ken and I had never been very close. And each had been poisoned against the other to keep the big sections of GM and Ford separate. Because after I got to know Ken very well, after I became
president.
Who had
done the poisoning?
It was done out of the president's office.
Deliberately.
I think so.
By Reuther?
No, not by him. I don't think by him, but done by people working for him. And about a fellow called Jack Conway, who had left in 61.
Huh.
But in any event, there were many things that I learned from Ken Bannon subsequently, including the fact that on the Saturday morning before Doug went to Philadelphia, there was a breakfast at which Ken Bannon was in attendance, and Victor Reuther, and Paul Schrade, who was then a board member from California, and two or three others, in which he agreed that he would be a candidate. Didn't call me to say, look, I've changed my mind or anything. Ken Bannon came up and said, after he'd seen Maisie, he said, I want you to be the first to know I voted for Fraser. The reason I didn't vote for you is you're too aloof and you're too emotional. I said, I wish you'd make up your mind. I wish you'd make up your mind. I don't think I don't think I can be both those things. And then there was a woman vice president, Olga Madar. She voted for Fraser, and a black vice president, Jack Edwards. He voted for Fraser. Then of the board members in the Detroit area, I only got one. There was one of the other three who I had personally saved at the convention of just 4 months before by the elections are by delegates. I switched three delegates that only I could have switched on his behalf. Then there was one director of a big region in the East who came up to see me after he'd seen Maisie. He said, I want you to know I voted for Fraser. But he says, you're going to be elected. And he said, I want you to know I want to be vice president. I said, that's a curious way to go about it. You say, I'm going to be elected, but you voted for Fraser, and now you want me to elect you vice president. I said, you know your region is 80% for me. He says, yes, I know it is. And as a matter of fact, he got into serious political difficulty when it became known how he had voted. So that it came out 12 to 11. But the regions with the votes, with the exception of this one in the East, there were more directors from big regions who were in my column. Plus, when the word got out that things were going the way they were, there were petitions circulating in the plants calling for a special convention. So the Constitution provides for that. So many locals in so many regions. And because on Wednesday, when it was obviously going to be close, I called Doug and I said, how long is this nonsense going to keep up? I said, you know, if by chance it should go the other way, I said, I'm not going to accept that result. There's going to be a convention. And I said, I'll get 75% of the votes in the convention. said, you don't deny that, do you? He said, you probably would. Well, I said, you have no right to do this. I didn't go back till you promised. That was beside the point. He said, well, I've got to give the guys a run for their money. And as I say, it so happened it came out 12 to 11. And, of course, not only the numbers, but the persons became public. That caused no problem on my side. I think it caused a problem on Doug's side, that he thought that I would hold malice, which I didn't. And then when it came down to the time in 77, when I was getting ready to leave, I canvassed with the officers individually and with the members of the board. I started with those who were potential candidates: Bluestone, Greathouse, made it clear that I thought it should be Fraser, so that it was worked out there was no contest. And so that our relationship is from 73 on was back on the old basis.
Now, in the presidential primaries of 76, though, were there any differences between you and Fraser on Carter?
Yes. But no harsh differences. Doug's wife and family were strongly for Udall in the Michigan primary.
I remember that.
Doug, at this point, was chairman of the Michigan CAP Council, which is the political arm of the UIW. But see, I didn't publicly endorse Carter until shortly before the Michigan primary. When I first made my move to Carter in the Florida primary, the bulk of the board were not there. Some of them were, and were not happy because I wasn't going public and banging the drum. But I wanted to bring as many along as possible, so that there are six board members in Michigan together with the national officers. And by the time we were getting close to the Michigan primary, they were overwhelmingly for Carter. Not as an ideological preference, but as the person who could be nominated, who could win. So that Doug was fully cooperative, and the Michigan CAP Council had a meeting, endorsed Carter, and threw all of our resources in.
Fraser was
part of that, right.
So then it made sense for Carter to talk to you in 80 to try and reach Fraser. That's why you remember we got on
yes,
this
right.
Fascinating sideline.
Although I think I brought up that Doug was a logical person to try and make the reconciliation with Kennedy, because I think earlier I'd said that it was my strong impression when I met with Ted Kennedy late in 79 that he was not an anxious, he was a reluctant candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And he had more or less been pushed into it by his supporters, but Doug was not among those who had done that. But he had, when the issue was joined, had supported him. So the president was in full agreement with that. Then he asked me, would I go discuss this with Hamilton Jordan? So I left the Oval Office and went and sat down with Hamilton Jordan and Landon Huff, not Landon
Butler.
Huff, Butler, Landon Butler, in which we talked about this. They were in agreement it made a lot of sense, and that I was going to go to Detroit the following week after the Gumbiao visit was over, and I would sit down with Doug and talk about it. But then, the Washington Post for Saturday, May the 24th, came out with a big interview with UAW President Douglas A. Fraser to the effect that Kennedy had to go all the way. It was just a political necessity. And no, wait a minute. No, not that wasn't it. No. No, it was the opposite. That Kennedy's candidacy was over. He should get out.
Right.
That was it.
He was one of the first to call for
right.
leaving the
and
campaign.
And, of course, that infuriated the Kennedy people. It infuriated the Kennedy people and made it possibility of him as an emissary vanish. That was it. And it turned out that I went out to the home of Steve Schlossberg, who was political UAW person in Washington. He had been talking to Doug, I forget where he was. He'd had this conversation, I guess, with Dave Broder. Anyway, he had thought it was just a conversation, not an interview, which, unless you have it pretty well understood, is not the way the world goes.
Oh, my.
But it was a big story, and so that was the end of that effort.
Fascinating.
Well,